Hi folks, you're very welcome back to the Young Stock Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Donoghue. My guest this week embodies the young element of the Young Stock Podcast. James Stokes from County Limerick is now 19 and runs his own hugely successful poultry business, Freeway Poultry. I'm not going to tell you what age James was when he started that business. You're going to have to listen to the podcast to find that one out. James and I have a great chat all about his farming background, juggling school while running the business, and the time when he took ABP's stand at the Tullamore Show. Enjoy. Now, I think it said a lot that this guest has a great story to tell, but my guest this week, listeners, really does have a great story to tell. James Stokes, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Anne, thanks very much for having me.
No problem. James, before we get into the nuts and bolts of you and being a very, very young entrepreneur to moving from a very young entrepreneur to now a young entrepreneur, before we get into the nuts and bolts of that, will you tell me a small bit about maybe yourself, the farm at home, that kind of thing, where you're from, James?
Yeah, so we're based in Oola, Pellas Green, County Limerick. So we're on the main Limerick Tipperary Road, kind of halfway between Limerick City and Tiptown. We have a dairy, grew up in a dairy farm. We got into milking cows in 2011. Up to that, it had been sucklers. Dad still does a lot of, goes to market a couple of days a week, and he has a cattle truck. But the cows would be the main part of the farm. I have five younger brothers, no sisters. So there's plenty of help around the yard. They're young, but they're all very good. They get up in the morning before school, and they help in the evening after school. And if they weren't there, to make my job a lot harder. So it would.
Brilliant. So that's, I suppose, kind of the background to this. But your story really isn't in cows and milking. Your story is something completely different. Tell us a little bit about your business, James.
So we sell backyard poultry and poultry equipment for the backyard. We do free-range eggs. And then over the last couple of years, we also started doing the ducklings, broilers, goslings, turkeys, anything you want for backyard poultry. And then last year, we added in free-range eggs. So I would have never thought starting out that it would have grown to be as big as it is now, or that even the market might be as big as it is. But we got a great reception. People appreciate what we're doing and the links we go to have a good product and a good hen. And I love it. I enjoy it. So I started keeping hens when I was young. A lot of people might have done that, had hens selling eggs to local neighbors and that. And just I got hens a few times. I wasn't really happy with how they were, so I decided to get a few chicks and rear them, but just that was too many chicks for, I had to buy 100, which was too many chicks for my small flock. I was only selling about 20 eggs a day, so I sold some of them then at the local market, which would be Camalloch for us, and I got a great reception there. So we did it once and we did it again, and then I decided that maybe I was making more money out of selling the chickens than I was out of the eggs. So I probably would have been 10 or 11 at the time, and so it's a year or two later then I started Freeway. So that's kind of where it all came from.
I think it might be, so you were kind of, I suppose Freeway was kind of coming on when you were probably about 13. Now what I forget is the listeners actually can't see you. Is this one of these questions you're not meant to ask people, but ballpark now, will you let the listeners know what age you're at the moment, James? I could be cancelled for asking you that question.
I'm 19 and I'm going to be 20 at the end of June.
Okay, so fairly young. So you're not even 20, like, and you've had a business on the go with 7 years. That's just amazing. How did it, tell me about, suppose, get like you, when you're getting Freeway kicked off, when did it start becoming a business from you? When did it go from kind of selling the chicks to mart to more the business model that you're running now?
I suppose it sounds crazy that I'm so young doing it looking back, but at the time I just really enjoyed it and it seemed like the right thing to do. And mum and dad were always very supportive. They don't mind as long as you were in school and you were. So they kind of had the attitude where go out and try it. If it doesn't work, well, tough lesson. But it's like we started selling the hens at probably 10, 11. So that was between fifth or sixth class. When I was 13 and in first year, I put up the website and I started doing these delivery routes. So we actually bought the first van. I would have only been in first year in school. And I had a few, my father used to do a bit of driving and a few neighbors used to do a bit of driving on the weekends as well. So we started off with just 4 delivery routes all around Munster. And as was prior to doing delivery routes, we used to do markets. But the market, there was 2 problems in the markets. Now, although you sold a lot of hens at them, one was there was a lot of disease at the markets, which I didn't like, because you always ran the risk of bringing it home with you. Even though you do your best to have biosecurity, it's very hard to have biosecurity in a market where other hens might be carrying certain things. And two was, there was a lot of competition at the market, especially if we were a little bit cheaper and you were starting out. And there was a lot of bed mounting and someone new coming in. So then we started doing delivery routes and advertising online. So the four delivery routes started off just in Munster. And then by the end of the year, we were covering 26 counties.
And where in there? So James, you're kind of running this with the family, the neighbours are doing the driving for you. Obviously, you're only a young lad. You can't be doing the driving.
I couldn't drive.
So when did it get too big for the family and friends? When did you have to kind of put in a new system?
Well, we kind of stayed working away like that for... So the biggest problem was we rear all our own hens. We don't buy in hens from anyone else. So you have hens, and then after 3 or 4 weeks, they're all gone. So then it's another 2 or 3 months before you have more hens again, because I only had so much space to raise them in. And the fact that I was going to school, I mean, Dad really wanted to make sure that there wasn't too many chickens around the yard, so you could go to school. And so if you start putting too many hens in the ground and you're not around, well, you wouldn't be able to look after them properly. So I went from that. Then we put up a hen shed at home. That would be in the second year. I was just funds from running the business the year before. It wouldn't have been a big hen shed, but I could still fit a couple thousand hens in it. And then we did ploughing that year as well. So I would have been in second year. We decided that we were going to do a lot of shows, really drive it on. Got a lad to drive during the week. So that would have been the first time I got anyone working with me. And we went to the ploughing that year too. Now going to the ploughing and some of our show was a bit premature, because the phone would be ringing all day long and I wouldn't be home till 4 o'clock in the evening to answer it. So it wasn't a great idea in terms of growing the business, but wasn't too well thought out.
But I suppose it did show that you were getting a great reception at the time, as in like that you'd going to the ploughing generated a lot of business for you, James, did it?
Yeah, it did. It just went completely out of proportion. You could have had 10 times the amount of inquiries to about the hens that I could ever have. We were booked out 3 or 4 months ahead. And then COVID came the following spring, which meant that there was a huge demand for backyard chickens and people were at home and they had more time on their hands. So it just, the business just grew and grew. And before I knew it, it was sort of a fully fledged business that was making money, and it was fairly, everything going fairly well. It sounds a lot more exciting, I suppose, looking back at it now, than was at the time. At the time, it was kind of chaos trying to organize all these customers and you're very young and everything was new. But I enjoyed it, and looking back, you earned an awful lot from that.
And we talked about the ploughing, but I suppose one of the other big events in the farming calendar, Tullamore Show. In 2019, am I right in saying, James, that you landed yourself into a fairly big spot in the Tullamore Show?
Yeah, we did. It was just, we decided that we were going to try, we had applied for a spot maybe a bit late prior to that. And then, on account of beef pickets and that, when ABP and Slaney Meats decided to pull out of the Tullamore Show, we got the ABP spot, which was a huge jump. The footfall that was there was unbelievable. So then between the Tullamore Show, where we met thousands of people, and thousands again a couple of weeks later at the ploughing, the business just exploded. That was probably the making of Freeway. I had never intended on selling chickens forever. I thought something I did was going to school, and I had intended on going on to college after school, but then when everything fell into place, I decided I really liked it and I was going to stay at home.
And so talk to me a small bit about where Freeway is at now. Kind of, this is your full-time job, it's your business. Where is it at now, or how has it grown since, I suppose, that place when it started in first year?
So we weren't awfully big up until about 2 years ago. So we were doing a couple thousand hens a year, an average of maybe 30 orders a day. We used to just deliver on the weekends and maybe a Friday if someone was around that could help with driving. Even up to 2 years ago, I still intended on going to college, getting a good leaving start, going to college, and then maybe I could focus on the business when I came home. So just before my leaving start, I got some help in the office. So I took on a girl 5 days a week. And I decided to go into Limerick to do my leaving cert, just because I'd missed a lot of school, obviously starting out Freeway and with COVID. And I wouldn't have always really liked school. So if I could get away without doing homework, without studying, I'd always take that option, like a lot of other people.
Bit like myself.
So finished my leaving cert in June 2 years ago. with every intention of going to college, and I went into a school in Limerick, and my points were fairly good. But I didn't get enough points for veterinary. That's what I was going for. So veterinary was 625, and I was well short of that. So got a spot. I was going to go out farm to veterinary, and had all set to go in August. And a farm came up for sale during my leaving cert, but I decided, Dad said, don't buy it, wait till after, and I've been talking to you about it, the leaving cert is over. And after leaving cert, I was in two minds about it. And then when it wasn't realized that the farm was still available, I decided I was going to buy that and stay at home farming instead of going to out farm to study veterinary. So that allowed us in to get into free range eggs. We had been selling a few. So all the time we were growing freeway, I was growing a small, about only 500 hens when I left school, to when you brought on the farm and the shed I had at home, we were able to expand to 6,000 laying hens. And we built a packing centre there for packing our own eggs. So now we're producing 6,000 eggs a day. We pack them on ourselves. We deliver them to, I think, as of now, we've nearly 60 shops and restaurants that we're delivering to every week. And we put up another small shed at home for 1,500 more hens that we're going to be, we're hoping to take on nearly 100 shops, hopefully by the first week of May. And so, the eggs have been a huge help, because before, the backyard chickens are seasonal, whereas now you have a consistent cash flow the whole year round, which meant that I could take on more staff and wages. So we've grown from, only 2 years ago when I left school, there's now two people in the office. I got a girl to help me doing accounts, and we've a full-time driver, and I have two people that help me around the yard as well. So we've gone from having nobody, or having just one person 2 years ago, to having only seven staff now. So it's a lot of people to keep organized. And but I'm lucky to have a good team that we can really drive on this year. And we're going to nearly double the business on last year.
And James, do you always want to run your own business? Was that something that you always, I know you were super young when you started this, but was this something that you were like, I always knew I wanted to be my own boss and I wanted to, have my own thing going on?
Well, listen, I don't know what I thought, maybe it's hard like that, but I really like farming. And Dad was always, he works at home and he goes to the markets. And so it was always a bit there about, people to go to the market buying and selling, and just kind of a thrill out of it. I used to go to the market with him, but the main reason I started doing eggs and chickens at start was because when you're younger and you're 10 or 11, cows and cattle are very slow. So you can buy one today, but it's only 6 months before you have money to buy one more. At least with the eggs and chickens, a little bit faster. And I just got a thrill out of being able to, you were turning over money and you were just enjoyed that side of it always. And I always intended this was on farming and do my own thing, and I just enjoy it. That's probably the biggest side of it.
And did you think, I know you were saying there, like, you loved the turnaround of the chickens, and I suppose it was a bit faster, but did you as a young lad see yourself going more towards, I suppose, what your dad would be doing in terms of the dairy and the kind of the cows and the cattle kind of a side of thing? Or would you have always thought that you might go this route?
In the beginning, I would have always thought that I was going to go with Dad and go farming and maybe milk cows somewhere else, or definitely go driving lorries and go to markets. But then your eyes, you get a little bit older. That my father was fairly young, and I have five younger brothers, and he'll be keeping hold of the reins for a long time. So at least this way I was able to do my own thing and drive on. And I suppose I'm fairly impatient when it comes to work. I don't every day from 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to late at night, this is what I do every day. So it's something you can do for yourself every day that you can drive on and join. You feel nearly every day you feel like you're better, you're further ahead of where you were yesterday. That's probably what I enjoy the most out of it all.
And you mentioned there now 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, which is just making me think, what's a day like for you, James Stokes? What time do you get up, and how much of your day is going into this business?
Like, we normally start driving early. We deliver, we're open 7 days a week. So the office is open from 8 to 6. 7 days a week, bar Christmas Day and New Year's Day, we're here. So a lot of people collect from the farms. Like, on any given day, you definitely have 10 or 15 customers will come, and on the weekend, you'd have more. And when we're driving, the vans normally leave at 6 or 5:30, but they're delivering hens around the country, or they're delivering to shops, or they're delivering to maybe some bigger customers you've taken on lately. So you normally go up, you check your boards first thing before anyone comes, just to make sure there's no problems. So I have lads that help me to just look after the hens and bed them and keep them fed and do your checks. So most mornings it is 4:30, you know, when you're getting up, and it might sound crazy, but it's just when you have so many customers and so much happening every day, it's nice to be started and you know that if there's a problem, you're sorted before you leave the air. You know, that's the most important part of it. So we have a slogan that we put on it when I was younger. And so as you get older, you realize why people don't do it. But we said business 7 days a week, or it's like open 7 days a week business as it should be, which was a strong line to put out. And we were still open 7 days a week, but you can see maybe why some people mightn't think it's that's how it should be, you know.
But. Yeah, so that even so, your younger self was all for putting the shoulder to the wheel, James. He was going 7 days a week, and he still is. So, yeah.
So that's just coming from a busy farm. You don't think anything of. You're unknown to yourself. You're working 7 days a week. You don't realize it. So, you're kind of looking at people saying, "John, why wouldn't you work 7 days a week?" And you enjoy it, and just this, your dad did it, mom did it. All farmers are doing it. So it's just what you know. It's not anything different to what you did when you were growing up.
And James, you were super young when this business. I know you're really honest and you talk about it and you say at times, you know, you were going to school and you were trying to do it after school and there was a lot going on, but you were still super young when you had this successful business. Do you ever look back now and think, Jesus, I was very young? Or, you know.
Yeah, you definitely do. You do look back and you're like, maybe you'd even say to yourself, you know, if I saw another 14-year-old, there's no way I would have let him go and set up his end of the plowing. You'd be like, you know, wait a while, what's their panic? But so dad was always just for go and do it, or it doesn't work. You learn from it. He didn't, so, and mem too, they never really told you to hold back from that side of it. But definitely you look back now, you're like, whoa, that was like, we actually didn't go to the plowing since then, because every year since, we've been sold out when the plowing came around. Well, COVID the year after. And every year since then, like, we booked a stand even 2 years ago. And then when the plowing came around, we'd no stock to order. I went to the Tullamore show every year. Tullamore show is a little bit easier. It's only one day. There isn't as much setting up and there isn't as much taken down from it. So if you don't have stock, you can go up and you can meet people. And it's great. And a lot of the customers would go to both shows anyway. So it was a way for us to meet everybody. And just, you know, it's public relations was what you could call it.
Absolutely. And you were saying there, I suppose, kind of like about meeting the customer and getting out there at the Tullamore show and the plowing. You're a customer, James. Both maybe in terms of the chicks and the eggs. You're a customer, while there may be obviously people from farms and people from the country buying your product, but there's probably a lot of different type of consumer as well that's buying your product. Who is your customer?
A lot of people ask you that along the way, and I've thought about it a lot, and it's actually impossible to pinpoint. Like, you know, we could have a farmer in Dingle or West Cork buying four hens, but you could have a customer in City West in Dublin buying the exact same product. So it's very hard to say, oh, we sell to this part of the population or this type of customer, but you can't really. It's just so varied. And then because of the spread of products we have, the spread of what we do, there are a range of customers, big customers that buy, you know, a lot of hens, the people that are buying two hens in their backyard. So it's very hard to pinpoint who they are. Like, even we put up a new website just over a year and a half ago, and I think there's nearly 32,000 orders gone through it already. And we take a lot of orders over the phone, through email too. So it's a huge amount of people.
Really?
I didn't answer the question directly, but it's very hard to pinpoint who the customer is.
Well, no, you didn't. Anyone is your customer. Do you know what I mean?
Very hard for advertising too. That's what we don't do, paid ads, but it made it very hard if you were trying to pinpoint a location or pinpoint even an age bracket. It's very, very hard to do it. So we just don't. But word of mouth has probably been the biggest advertising tool we've had, which was a great sign in the business, a great sign of what we do, and it makes it very easy, because whenever someone does try to spread rumors or misinformation, they kind of don't. The vast majority of people would know that it's not true. You know, so it makes our job very easy. As long as we keep good products and keep doing what we're doing, we should be okay for a long time yet.
And for someone that's, you know, 19 now, and you kind of on, like, you were 13 when you started the business. It's very interesting that you went towards that. Maybe what some people might say the old school word of mouth, you know, recommendation person to person, instead of maybe the kind of lots of people now when they're setting up businesses, they tend to, when they're younger, go towards more the social media type of thing and that big online presence. Whereas you went to the what would people might consider maybe the more traditional route.
Well, we did try at the start doing the advertising and doing that, but to be honest, we just couldn't keep up with it. We had to stop. It was So we were building sheds as fast as we thought we could and rearing as many hens as we were comfortable to rear at the time. And we still rear all our own. We don't buy in birds from anyone else. But we've just been constantly booked out all the time. And then so it's, probably should have taken on staff sooner. But it's very hard when your expenditure is so big, you're trying to build sheds and buy the stock. And then because chickens aren't a huge market, there isn't any wholesalers in Ireland for the equipment. So you were buying the equipment off the factories and you have to order 6 months before it comes. So it's very hard to have to fund the stock and fund the sheds. And then so you were left with, you're only barely scraping by, even though you're getting bigger and bigger every year. So you couldn't make the wages. So at this, there was a period when we grew from, where we grew up to kind of know that it was very, because we were doing the best we could, but it was very hard to keep the customer service where you wanted because we were just so busy. But you were, everyone got their order, but like it was just, there could be 10 times the amount of inquiries of even the amount of stock we had, which was just, not many businesses had that problem. I don't think so. So it was a great complaint to have, but it was very, very hard to keep up with it.
Absolutely. I know you're trying to get everything going as quick as it can and, you know, as fast as it can. When you're talking there, like James, you're, and especially the period in your life, like you sound like a man who knows business. Did you go on instinct? Were you reading books about business or where, how did you mold your business model?
A lot of it probably comes from farming. Unknown to yourself, you just have to be, or else it won't work, you know? I never found it too complicated. Just keep in your stock, do a good job, keep down your expenses as low as you can, but don't cut corners. Cutting out waste was the biggest thing. So that was the most important, just making sure you'd no waste. And then like, there was times obviously along the way where you thought, is this worth it? Or so dad would always say that on farmers like stand up against the wall of the bank. There's a lot of money behind you, but there's very little in your pocket. It went fairly well. There was a couple of mistakes along the way, and going back probably would have saved a good bit of money if it hadn't happened, but that's just how it goes. And so anyone that's running a business or running a farm will tell you the same thing. So if you go back and change 10 things, you could save a lot, but that's just the way it goes.
Absolutely. And I suppose then on the more the farming side of things on the ground, the knowledge of the poultry farming or that kind of side of things, coming from kind of being more of a cattle and a stock person, how did you just pick that up, or did you?
When you have a small flock of hens, it's very easy to look after them. They are fairly hardy. It's just when the numbers get bigger, like on any farm, the numbers get bigger, you come across more things and they're susceptible to more, they're more prone to picking up different things. But and we were looking up, we picked up a good poultry vet. And then because we were young starting out, and you were going to a lot of these shows and you'd meet a lot of people. That was the biggest plan. You'd meet someone and say, oh, my uncle has, or my father has, or my brother has hens. And they say, oh, I'll get him to talk to you on the phone. And then you might meet him. And it was, again, just meeting people and talking to people. And you pick up things along the way. And they'd advise you to use this product or meet this person. And there is a lot to it. Like even when we were raising the hens, bringing lights from Holland for the sheds. The studies have shown that it'll increase production by 25 eggs in a year by running, using this light and running an efficient lighting program. And we don't supply big farmers, we supply kind of medium-sized farmers as well, up to about 1,000 hens. So it makes a big difference to them, those small little details. And there definitely was things along that we've changed. Even the last 12 months or 18 months when we've really expanded the amount of hens we're rearing every year and producing the eggs, we've really changed a lot of the things we were doing and stuff that you wouldn't even think would make an awful difference does.
Fantastic. And my final thing I was just thinking there, I probably have more questions again, but were your family very supportive of you during this when you were, I know you were kind of alluded to there about them helping with the driving and stuff. Were they good? Were they supportive of you all the way up?
Well, at the very start, they were all for selling the eggs and they didn't mind that at all. There was a period, maybe when you were going from selling a few hens to selling, or maybe just before we maybe bought the van, and that they were, probably small skeptical thinking that there isn't ever going to be an awful lot out of this. But, and I was young, so if I made 200 euros, it was like making 20,000. You were absolutely buzzing. It felt like an awful lot more money than what it actually was. And you'd know, like, if I was this age now, starting out again, and it was slow, you know, it was slow for the first couple of, first year or two, I don't know, would you stick with it? You wouldn't imagine that it would ever grow to be as big as it is now. But, you know, once, they never, you know, they were very supportive all the time. It wasn't ever that they were against it or that they, you know, anytime you needed help, they always put the shoulder to the wheel and drive on behind you 110%. So, and you know, my brothers are a great help. They're trying to get up every morning before school, and or even after school, and they're 100% with you as well. So I can't say that I was, don't let anyone pulling against me or that, you know.
Yeah, and sure, no more than I'd say if I don't, but if I had a child and they told me when they were in first year they were going to start in a poultry business, I'd probably be like, oh, what about school? Do you know, could we have this was, up a few years maybe?
There was that part of the right. There was a few small few arguments like that, especially when, you know, everyone was so busy and I'd be saying, you know, please, can you drive on Saturday or can you drive on Sunday and be gone at 4:30 in the morning, not back till 10 o'clock at night doing these liver roots with chickens. They were, and at the time, the roots wouldn't be anywhere near as big as they are now. Like, it'd be, couldn't imagine be taking 100 hens, and so it wasn't a huge day's wages, but to me, it was a lot. And but they did it, and John, like you said, there was a small bit of pullback, especially for men when she had, just do your leaving cert, do whatever you want after, but I kind of felt like, you know, if that was 3 or 4 years away, that was, my life was going to be over if I didn't get these chickens sold now.
And did you get the driving test straight away when you got to 17?
Yeah, and booked it, and did my theory test, and John did the licenses, and did it. Just did my leaving cert inside Limerick at lunchtime. I used to do the lessons for the trucks, and so I did all my truck tests while I was inside doing my leaving cert, because it was something to do at lunchtime. It kind of broke up the day.
just a quick side thing to do while you were doing the leaving cert. You didn't have enough on. You're trying to get pints of veterinary and should do the truck license while you're at it.
But look, I enjoy it. Looking back, it seems a lot more exciting than it was. It felt, you know, a lot of time there, it just felt like madness. You're coming home from school, you wouldn't be finished till 1 or 2 o'clock at night and be trying to get up again at 5. But so it was hard going. It was a bit messy for a while as well when, you know, there were so many people looking for stuff and ringing and they couldn't get through. When you were trying to bring back people after school and pretend you were a bigger business, so you'd be telling people, oh, I was on phone calls all day, but you weren't, you were inside in class. But you know, you thought at the time it seemed like you needed to look like a big business when you're actually working out of the cows. So I suppose what we're trying to do, a lot of people know the story, but we're trying to do more advertising this year to show people, you know, that we are a family business and how we do everything and why we do everything. Because, you know, everything we do is 110%. Like I said, we rear all our own hens, we produce all our own eggs. There isn't many other, you know, people that can actually say that and that actually do it. You know? So we can show it. It's just very hard to get the time to do all this advertising, you know.
Yes, you're trying to get more of your story. I suppose kind of similar to what we're doing now. You're trying to get your story out here. Because I would have heard you a good few times over the years. So like, it was more of a, it wasn't that you were doing loads of interviews or putting yourself out on social media or anything like that, word of mouth, people saying, geez, you hear cheer this young man with the chickens.
To be honest, if you'd asked me to do this, definitely 12, maybe 6 months, but definitely 12 months ago, it would have been a straight no. And 6 months ago, it probably would have been the same thing. And like, we were just too busy. We couldn't possibly do any more than we were doing. But when we bought the eggs, they made the cash flow a bit better. And actually, the credit union were very good to me last year. They backed me with me buying the farm, and AIB backed me as well. And you can imagine, you get a few stares like when you walk in just after finishing leaving, start trying to ask banks to give you money for this hen farm. And you never had money taken out before, and you never had laying hens before. So they were like, Joe, great, it's chickens, but it's a different business. But you know, they did back you, so.
And where would you like to see Freeway now going into the future?
So this year we're probably going to really double up with what we did last year. We have 4 vans for to take on delivery. Like, the weekends are very busy, so we have 4 vans to take on deliveries for this year. Very hard to say where we're going to be in 5 years' time, because if you asked me even 12 months ago or 18 months ago, I never would have said like we were going to be reduced, definitely 18 months ago, that we were going to be reducing 6,000 or 7,000 free range eggs a day, and we were going to sell 30,000 or 40,000 hens to the public. Now, that sounds like an awful big number, but we rear all the hens in small groups as well. So, you know, it's not like a big commercial farm. Smaller flocks, they develop a pecking order. And like, everyone will tell you when they get the hens off us, they are quiet. It's not like they're commercially raised hens. There's a huge difference. It makes it a lot harder for us to have all these small flocks. But so you do get a better hen that's more suited to the backyard environment as well. And no, we've no interest in going doing commercial poultry because we lose everything I've done for the last 6 or 7 years to build up. I know it might seem like around 20, but the last 6 or 7 years, it felt like a long time. It went very fast, but that, you know, you wouldn't go back. I wouldn't like to go back to the start and start again now either. So
yeah,
we keep doing what we're doing then. And we will drive on. Probably the free range eggs is a market that we're going to stay with. And we can probably grow the backyard chicken a small bit more as well. And you know, a lot of what we're going to do for the next 12 months is actually going to be just getting back to people, looking after people that are with us a long time. I have a bit more time now that I have people helping me. So just to make sure that everyone does, just make a few small improvements, maybe make life a small little bit easier, but just to keep driving on and make sure everyone's 110% happy with the service and the products that you're getting.
Brilliant, absolutely. And before I go into our quick fire round that I'm going to throw at you, James, I have one question now that it keeps going in the back of my mind, so I better ask it. Did you go out at 13 and go out to someone and buy the van yourself?
No, they came with me.
You said that. I wondered what they think. This young fella can't even drive and he's going out to buy the van. But you still went out and bought the van. And
Watched Dundee for a while and then came across it and bought it over me. And we still have it, actually. We bought it, there was only 80,000 kilometres and we have 480,000 on it now. So we've a lot of driving done since we got it.
You made a good investment.
We did. I haven't been there for a long time. It's very hard to get rid of it when it did all the driving up to a couple of months ago. So,
the original one.
There was a lot of times when you might have had a couple of problems with the hens or stock might have been late coming in. And there was time starting out like when you wouldn't actually have even €3 in your account, but then D-Ledge, you were completely back to the wall waiting for these hens to be ready and you'd feed companies ringing. And everyone wants to get paid on time. And the van was the only thing that was every day was guaranteed and it started. Like it never cost a shilling. So it was there every day and you could depend on it. So it'd be very hard to let it go. I normally wouldn't be someone to have sentimental value of anything, but that one has its service well given to us.
Could you turn it into a hen house? That's probably a biosecurity nightmare. I don't know. I feel like it needs to be kind of cemented into something like some kind of a museum.
There's plenty of life left in the jet. We still use it 2 or 3 days a week.
You're not retiring it yet.
Local deliveries and stuff. So yeah. We do a lot of, like, be surprised like that. We do a lot of driving. We could do 100 or 110,000 kilometers in the van a year. So we need to have good vans behind us. It's an expense you wouldn't even imagine is there, but if you're doing that much mileage every year, the depreciation is huge. So you need to be getting good deliveries in. That's why you need to look after people so much, because if our delivery routes get quiet or if any part of our business gets quiet at the moment, we'll feel it. So we have to really be in touch with what's happening and hopefully happy people are with what we're doing.
Well, James, I could be talking to you and asking you questions about this forever. So I'm gonna go on and ask you our quick fire round if you don't mind. A sprang or a fork, James?
Fork.
Lines or berries?
Berries.
A rotary parlour or a herringbone parlour?
Herringbone parlour.
Bales or pit?
Pit.
Trock or trough?
Trough.
Same as myself. Ragwort or a Bucalon?
Ragwort.
And last one then, Dunlop or Burkina?
Burkina, we have ourselves.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we actually sell bikini with these two.
plug. If anybody needs any. Have you any deal there for the listeners of the podcast or anything you can give out?
I haven't been. There's a few deals up on the site, and we do nationwide next day delivery for $7.95. So it's not bad. When you order one pair or 20 pairs, it's delivery is same. So
there's a bit of value for the listeners there. James, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been absolutely lovely chatting with you, and I can't wait to check back in and see where poultry is, or see where free range poultry is in a few years.
Thanks, Anne. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
That's all we have time for this week, folks. Thank you very much for listening to the Young Stock Podcast. I know it's been a long one, so thank you for staying with me to this point. I'm sure you'll agree that James had lots and lots of good stuff to say. I've been your host, Anna Donahue. Catch you in the next episode.
We're currently looking for young people across Ireland to interview on the podcast. If you know someone who's under the age of 35 that has an interesting story career or experience that you want to share, then send on their name and get in touch with the Young Farmers Journal team. We want to give a voice to young people across rural Ireland. What issues are currently bothering you? Get in touch by emailing youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or send us a WhatsApp voice note to 086 83 66465.